We are on page 395, 396, chapter 2, simon 2 of, what do you call it, the Egeres HaKodesh. This is the famous letter Ketanti, which was written after the Alter Rebbe was released from prison. The miracles that happened there with culminating in what we celebrate as the Rosh Hashanah of Chassidus Yud Tes Kislev. And following that, we said, there were those people, this is sort of like the Rebbe's response to the whole deal, and this is in response, the part we're picking up from now, is a response to those people who really became vindictive against those who were the philosophy which put the Alter Rebbe in prison. So the Alter Rebbe very much wanted to squash any type of what could have turned into a physical civil war.
Civil war, yeah, right.
So it was bad enough as what was going on till then.
Physical civil war, yeah.
Yeah, it would have come to
Blows.
To blows, yeah. People, seriously? People would have. It would have been really serious had the Alter Rebbe not done something about it. So he stepped in, and we got up to the point. The line starts offer ve'efer, okay, which is that's the first word in the line, about 10 lines from the top. And in the English, it is in the third line of the second paragraph. I am but dust and ashes is where we left off. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. So he said that the premise of the letter is that if something good happens, you should consider it as though you're using up brownie points. Mm. And to the Alter Rebbe, something really good happened. I mean, the fact that he got let out of prison.
Yeah, that's not too shabby.
Yes, I mean, considering the seriousness of the Alter Rebbe's imprisonment, by Rosh Hashanah, one Rosh Hashanah, what year would it be? I don't remember exactly the year. When the Mittler Rebbe was Rebbe already, when he was 52 years old, so he said after Rosh Hashanah, or on Rosh Hashanah, my father had a choice when he was 52, was the same age as the Alter Rebbe, of imprisonment or death. And he chose imprisonment. And he left over death. When the Hasidim heard this, They were bashrekin is the word.
Yeah.
They were quite scared.
They were nervous,
and the Mittler Rebbe passed away that year.
Wow.
Okay, a year after he had been also imprisoned. But his imprisonment wasn't so bad. There's all kinds of stories about it. He was allowed to have a minion with him. He was allowed to daven with the minion. He was allowed to say Chassidus whenever he wanted to. So he was confined, but he wasn't in prison. The Alter Rebbe in prison was serious.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. So he says now, so this is by Avraham Avinu, that Avraham, all the things that he went through, he realized with his sense of humility, he says, I'm nothing more than dust and ashes. Because were it not for the Almighty, I would have been reduced to dust by the four kings of whom I fought against. Mm-hmm. And I would have been reduced to ashes by Nimrod, who threw me into a furnace.
Wow.
But it's only because of the kindnesses of Hashem that I'm still breathing.
Yeah.
And so this we picks up now. V'zehu gam kein midasa shel Yaakov. This is also the attribute of Yaakov. Yaakov, though, takes it one step further. Because normally when we refer to midasa shel Yaakov, we don't refer to chesed. We refer to usually emes or rachmanis. And it's something which is, the midas of Yaakov is something which is unceasing. As we know that in the basim, in the Mishkan, which we're learning about in these parshas, that the walls of the Mishkan were held together by cross braces. The top brace was analogous of Avraham. The bottom brace was analogous of Yitzchak. The middle brace was analogous of Yaakov. And it had a miracle that it went all the way through from one end of the Mishkan all the way to the other. It was one solid piece. Because Yaakov's Midah is Midas HaEmes. And the whole concept of Emes is that it doesn't stop. Okay, and this is not alluded to, but told actually in the saying when it says in the song. I don't know when the song is sung because Lubavitchers don't sing it. Mm-hmm. But T10 Emes Li Yaakov, Altira Avdi Yaakov. Okay, Emes, truth, was given to Yaakov. Don't be afraid, my servant Yaakov. Mm-hmm. Okay, so that Yaakov's that Yaakov should stand up in front of Hashem and say Katainti. It's kind of sort of misplaced at this point. Mm-hmm. We have what to worry about. With this now, he considered himself insignificant in front of Yaakov, in front of Esav. And he was not happy with just the promise that Hashem said, I will go down with you and I will come up with you also. Mm-hmm. Which is an interesting thing. Hashem would tell you, listen, I got your back. Mm. How many times would Hashem have to tell you that?
About once.
Once is enough.
Once would be enough.
About once, yeah.
Okay.
For the Mu'ah.
Yeah, once is enough. You got Hashem, and Yaakov wakes up and says, and he recognized, Hashem told me he's got my back.
Right.
When I go down, when I come up. Okay, so that meant when you're down with Lavan, who's going to try and rip you off and kill you, and when you come back up and you have to deal with Esav again, to whom you're running away from now, and who's going to try and kill you, I got you then also.
Yeah.
So what's Yaakov, was from the Katne Amuna? No. A paradigm is given, people would write to the Rebbe for brachas. And people write to the Eichel for brachas, and people do igros for brachas, whatever it is your way of communicating with the Rebbe. And the Rebbe would give a bracha. Okay? And a certain period would go by. Let's say a person was writing for Parnassa. Okay? He's got some kind of something, and he needs a bracha for Parnassa, and so the Rebbe gives him a bracha for Parnassa. Okay? Time goes by, and something else happens, and he writes again, I need a bracha for Parnassa. But you just got, you already got your bracha for Parnassa. How many times does the Rebbe have to give you? The Rebbe said, it's like, go back and have a second. Shlomo HaMelech talked to God, and God said, I'm going to make you smart.
Right.
How many times did God have to tell him, I'm going to make you smart?
You made him smart.
Once. Once, he made him smart. Was he still smart 10 years later, 20 years later, 30 years? He was still smart.
There's some arguments about that.
Okay, we're going to go there.
Learned a lot of...
Okay. So now, the idea of a bracha is psichas hatzinor, is what it's called. Bracha means to draw down godliness. Mm. Meaning, the godliness is sitting there waiting. There's a reservoir of godliness.
Right.
And what does the bracha do? The bracha shoves in a pipeline between you and the reservoir.
To tap into it, right.
Yep, and that's how now the godliness comes down. So it could very well be that the pipes get a clog in them, for example, or maybe you need a new pipe. You know, so a block away from my daughter's house, there was a major water main. Mm. That ruptured.
Uh-huh.
Okay, it was a 4-foot main.
Ooh.
She had on her block. There was a regular main. I don't remember what it is. It's a 2-foot pipe, an 18-inch pipe, and it flooded the entire street and it froze. That was like the week that they had the 13 below, and within a very short time, all the cars on the street were frozen into the street.
Right, wow. Stuck.
They could not move.
Right.
Okay. So this happened, it was happened just a couple of weeks ago, further down the line, this 4-foot pipe ruptured, and it created a lake which closed, people had to be evacuated from their houses, and this was a major deal.
Right.
So one of the news people says, how come this water main broke? And the person from the water department said, it just so happens that this water main was installed in the 1870s.
Wow.
Right. So I think we got our money's worth out of this one.
Yeah, really.
You know, so I mean,
wow.
it was good till now. If we hadn't had the winter that we've been having, so who
it'd
knows?
Still be good.
It'd still be okay. But you can listen. It's only just big old piece of cement.
Yeah.
And there's only so much you can expand.
No, back then it's clay tile.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah, back then clay. Yeah.
Okay. And so the same thing could happen with the bracha. It's been going along. Listen, sure. We're going along for 150 years. Everything's swell.
Yeah.
Okay? But things happen. Okay? So what do? You go right away to the Rebbe again. I need another bracha for Puna. Looks like something's going to happen. Okay? It could very well be that nothing's going to happen. But in most instances, the Rebbe would say, okay, you get another bracha. Mm. Okay? We'll do it again. If the person was really nudgy about it, so the Rebbe would say, like if a person wrote two or three times, like in the same instance, at the same time, the Rebbe might answer, I already gave you a bracha. Mm. The Rebbe could do that.
Yeah.
Okay. But for the most part, so when a person would write in, so it's not considered from the Katni Amunah to write in a second time, sometime if there's new circumstances. Okay. So Yaakov was not from the Katnei Amunah. It says he looked at it as different circumstances. If it would be that he came back the way that he left, as it says right over here, I left with my walking stick,
right,
and he was coming back and he's going to be facing Esav. That was the same situation. He knew that the promise was that if you come back in the same circumstances, Hashem says, I got your back. Mm. But now he's got four wives, he's got 13 kids,
right.
He's got a whole entourage of slaves and hanger-oners.
And
he's got all kinds of stuff and livestock.
Right.
So it's a different circumstances now. So it's like, wait a minute. So I know about me. What about all the rest of this stuff? Mm. Like, thank you, God. You protected me. So what happens is that Esav comes, attacks me. Because I got a bracha from God, then nothing's going to happen to me. So I'm fine. So that when the dust settles, the only one standing is me.
Is me, right.
So thank you, that's not a bracha. So for this now, so Yaakov comes back, and he says, "Ketanti mekola chasadim." Maybe to get to this far, I have nothing left.
Used up my merit, right.
Okay, but Alter Rebbe points out that Yaakov was young as midas ha'emes. Ubuznois is not so yerosim if they ace of kiloid, I have talked to him. Okay, mibne hayes cotton Yaakov b'ma'oi, can you ace? Mifnei, he yais katan Yaakov b'ma'oid b'ma'oid b'einav. Because Yaakov in his own eyes considered himself insignificant. Machmas riboy hachasidim. Hachasadim, excuse me. Because of the great amount of kindness that was bestowed upon him. As it says, keep a machli, I went down with a walking stick, and I got all this other, and he enumerates all the things in those psukim, all the things that he's acquired in the past 22 years.
Yeah.
Okay? So here we have that when you're talking in Kedusha, that in the presence of Hashem's kindness, so what does it do? So it makes, the more the person gets, the less the person feels. And indeed, there's different ways, we talked about this, I think we talked about this last week, that when a person is learning, so if they're learning the Torah is a davar shebekedusha, the more they learn, the more they realize they don't know. Mm-hmm. Whereas if a person is approaching it from an academic view, so then the more he knows, mm-hmm. I learned a lot. And it just makes, the more he learns, it becomes a bigger something. But a person who's approaching it as the chachmasei v'ritzoinei shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that it was brought down from Moshe Mipi HaGvura, from the mouth of the Almighty. So that has that he approaches it in this way. So that humbles him, and he's opened now, so that the more he learns, the less he becomes. So Yaakov was in the same vein. The great chasadim, the great kindness that he got, the more and more kindness that he got, he became a more nothing. Because it fits into that if a person recognizes what they're getting is elokus, so what contains elokus? Nothing.
Nothing.
So in order to enter to contain elokus, you have to make yourself a nothing.
Right.
And the more nothing you make yourself, the more elokus you can contain. The Einar Royo could die clawly not. So and because of that, he was not proper, fit, or deservant to be saved. Is because maybe he did something wrong, and that in his eyes he would have done something wrong, so he considered it something wrong, and that would have stuffed up the pipes.
What did he consider that he had done wrong?
He didn't devote himself to his father.
Ah, I hear.
And for that taki he was punished. Yosef was away 22 years,
right.
The same amount of time that Yaakov was away from Yitzchak.
Right. Yeah.
So what should he have done? He didn't have to come back a wealthy man.
Right.
Okay, he had to work for 14 years.
Right.
At the end of the 14 years, he should have picked himself up and said, thank you very much. I'm going to go get my inheritance from my father.
Yeah.
So we see that what did Avraham do? Avraham did not want to take anything from the spoils of war after he knocked off the four kings.
Yeah.
Because he didn't want anybody to say that was the king of Stoim who made Avraham rich.
Right.
So he said, I got enough already. I don't need any of this nonsense.
Right.
And Yaakov should therefore have said, I will rely upon the inheritance of my father. Yitzchak wasn't rich. Everything Yitzchak planted, he got back 100-fold.
Yeah, he was doing okay.
He was doing okay.
He was doing okay.
Okay? So, but the fact that he spent that extra time there, that Yaakov considered to be wrong. But even still, Hashem said, you haven't touched the interest, you haven't touched the principal yet, you got nothing to worry about. Which is not the case when you're talking about the extraneous forces that you're talking about. For example, Yishmael, who's a chesed of klippa. We mentioned a long time ago. Try to remember what was the context that we mentioned it. Maybe it was in chapter 24, maybe it was in chapter 7. I don't remember. We say a bracha every single day, three times a day and four times on Shabbos. Magen Avram. Mm. What's the bracha Magen Avram mean? Who shields Abraham. Mm. Which means, under our normal up till now, heretofore, whatever, how we've been thinking about the Kavanah means, is that Avraham had all the trials and tribulations, and he managed to get through them because Hashem was protecting him. Magen Avram. That's pshat. Okay? The Alter Rebbe doesn't translate it like that. The Alter Rebbe translates it, Magen Avram, shield us from Abraham. Abraham was Mr. Kindness. When Hashem told Avraham that Yitzchak was going to be born, what was Avraham's response? Lu Yishmael Yechiyeh Lefanecha. It should be that Yishmael should be the one who's going to be the inheritor.
Right.
It was up to Avraham, Mr. Kindness, because kindness can be misplaced.
Yeah.
Misdirected.
Yeah.
Okay, and when you have a kindness that is the embodiment of Yishmael, because Yishmael is also the embodiment of kindness. Avraham had, Yishmael was also kindness. Okay, because what was it? We see that what happened in the purification process that had to occur for the Jewish people to get the Torah, the first step of the purification was to, in getting rid of the terach that was in Avraham. Mm. So the first step in the purification was to jettison Yishmael from Yitzchak. Yitzchak is analogous to Gevura.
Mm.
So that's fine.
Right.
Okay? Because what you have now is you have Chesed, and Chesed it relates to Gevura and Kedusha. Mm. What was the byproduct thereof? Was Yishmael. Yishmael was all the unplaced, unwarranted kindness that got jettisoned so that Yitzchak would not have unwarranted, misplaced, misdirected kindness. We don't see any instances where Yitzchak is kind inappropriately.
Uh-huh.
But what happened with Yitzchak? So Yitzchak had a Yaakov and an Esav.
Hmm.
Because the logical progression from Gevura next is Teferis, is Emes. But what did Yitzchak have to do as part of the purification process?
Yeah,
he had to jettison all the Gevura which had any type of Shaychus to Klippa. And that's what Esav was. Esav was much worse than Yishmael.
Yes.
We talk about who they are. When you talk about Esav, you're talking about Mr. Evil, yes.
Yes, but the potential for Esav was much greater than Yishmael.
Yes, of course, because whatever Kedusha was there that was stuck
was huge.
Had to be a much greater level of Elikus to get stuck into Esav.
So huge.
You're right, that's why Yitzhak decided he wanted to deal with Esav, but the world wasn't ready for it yet. Yeah. So, but in looking at Caesar, when he's talking about the jettisoning of dross, so the gunk that came out from Esav was a much lower level gunk, you might say, that got spun off. Okay? Because look, you see that
was far more impure.
Yeah, because Ishmael, but what happened with Ishmael? Hello, can 1.3 can 1.3 billion arrows be wrong? Yeah, well, that's
yes.
But in the end of days, when Mashiach comes, so all the nations of the world are going to come and present themselves.
Yes,
and Esav's going to present himself first.
Right,
and he's going to get told, "Sorry, buddy, go take a hike." And Yishmael's going to present himself and say, "I really would like to participate with you guys who are the leaders," and they're going to get told, "Okay, fine, you get to come when Mashiach comes." Because we know that there's not too many stories that I know about Yishmael, but there's one story in the Medrash that's brought down that after many years, after Sarah passed away, even
right,
that Yaakov, Avraham went to go visit Yishmael to see what he's doing.
Yes, yes.
You know, like his wife.
And his wife said to him, "Hey, old man, what are you doing here?" So he said to her, "Are you the wife of Yishmael?" She said, "Yes." And he said, "But he's not here. Go away." So Avraham said to her, "Tell your husband Yishmael he doesn't like the door of his tent." Mm-hmm. Year goes by, and Yishmael comes, and Avram comes back. He's going to take a look. He's looking for Yishmael again. Mm-hmm. And he sees there's a lady there that he didn't see from last year. And he says, "Is this the tent of Yishmael?" And she said, "Yes, my father, it is. He is not here. He'll be here in a day or two. But you're welcome to come in and sit down and relax and to wait. He'll take care of you." And he said, "It's okay. Tell your husband Yishmael that I now like an old man was here, and now he likes the door of Yishmael's tent."
Likes the new door, yes. That's right.
Okay, so here it is. What does this tell us about Yishmael? He hasn't seen his father in decades.
Right.
His father drops a hint. "I don't like your wife."
Right.
And what did he do? He got rid of her.
Dropped her like a hot potato.
Okay, and understanding why it was that he didn't like his wife, because Yishmael, as whatever he was raised in a house where hospitality was like number one.
Right. Right, sure he was.
Okay, so what happens though with a Yishmael though is the more you give, the more he wants.
Yeah.
That's the difference. With Avram, the more he got, the less he needed.
Right.
With Yishmael, the more he got, the more he wanted.
Yeah.
And indeed, that's generally the case with Taivas.
Yeah.
We talk about Taivas of Olam Hazeh, so it's very, idea of slaking one's thirst by giving it everything that he needs is counterproductive. Will you ask?
Had he done tshuva at this point?
Mm-hmm. No. Not yet. He did not do tshuva until after Avraham passed away.
What was that?
When Avram passed away, he allowed Yitzchak to go first and said, you are the rightful heir. I'm checking out. I'm leaving. I'm not making any claims
here, right,
to the inheritance." Whereas with Esav put up a whole fight, got his head handed to him.
Mm-hmm.
You know the story.
Mm-hmm. Literally.
That, quite literally. Okay? So he never did tshuva. Okay, Asa was the embodiment of Gvura Shebeklipa. Gvura Shebeklipa is that's a tough one.
It's got to be some merit, though. His head's in Machpelah. What does it tell us?
He loved his father.
He did, obviously.
He had Kivet Avet Aim.
Yeah.
Okay.
It is a tough mitzvah.
Yeah, indeed. Okay. So it says that he is Yishmael's Chesed Eklipa. Kol Shah Chesed Gadol. He gets more and more and more and more. Not that I want to talk politics. And when it comes to, for example, American politics, I never talk politics. However, in the Middle East, okay, there's this thing called the peace process.
Yes.
Okay? So in the peace process, what is it that we're talking about doing? We want to give back pieces of land, so that way the Arabs will have their homeland, and we'll have our homeland, and then we'll be able to exist simultaneously, a two-state solution, a nechteketag. Because, we look what happened already now with Gaza. So he said, if you'll give back Gaza, so then there'll be peace.
Right.
Okay, but that's not how it works.
The missiles.
What are they saying? They're saying that this, because this is Yishmael.
Right.
They're saying we want the whole thing because we honestly believe the whole thing belongs to us.
Mm-hmm.
Now you want to compromise and say, okay, you know what? I'll take half, you take half. So that's fine. I take the half because that belongs to me. And now I want the other half because since you gave up the first half because you think it belongs to me, so that second half should also belong to me.
Right.
Okay? Because it's like now that you're saying there's no claim on. You gave that up. It's like in the mitzvah that, in the Mishnah that most people learn when they're a kid. Shnayim Aichsim Betalis. If this one says it's all mine, this one says it's all mine, they divide it in half. What happens if this one says it's all mine, the other one says it's half mine? So the first one gets three quarters because there's no fight about the first half.
Right.
So that's the way they're looking at it. Okay, you gave me this one. Thank you very much. Now we can begin our negotiations.
You can't hate the Arabs for not being true believers.
Good.
We should believe enough to
fine, but we should know what we're dealing with. Okay, we're dealing with a klipa of Yesa, of Yishmael.
The last one who knew died about 6 weeks ago.
Right. So that you're
he forgot.
Yeah, he forgot.
He forgot at the end.
He forgot.
He was the only one that they really feared.
Yeah.
Yeah. So and the only one that Rabin feared was the Rebbe. So
that's right.
Anyway, with the stories have to go with that one. Yeah, I'll tell you a story after we get done. It doesn't go on tape.
He told them don't be in the army, right?
I'll tell the story after we get done. I don't want to put it on the tape. Story. Anyway, so the so when you're dealing with a klipa that is Yishmael, the more you give, the more he says, I got to have more. You gave me this much, so I want more. As we see that, for example, the first parak of Tanya, when he talks about Taivis Vatainugim Yisoid HaMayim, that the acquisition of pleasures and delights comes from the attribute of water, which water happens to be an expression of kindness, of the Nefesh HaBahamas. Why? Ki HaMayim Etzameichim Kol Minei Tainug. Because water makes all kinds of delicacies grow. Okay, so that's what the klipa of Yishmael is. It's I have some, I want more.
Right.
I have more, I want more than that. You can't say I have enough because I'm never going to have enough.
Right. Like the fire.
Yeah. So that's what Yishmael is, which is the exact opposite of Yaakov. Now, this is all the introduction up to this point. This is the introduction of what the Alter Rebbe wants to say. Now he's getting to the point now where he's going to say what he wants to say. From this point it gets easy. Now I'm coming and I'm making it known with a great announcement such as, listen up please. Okay, this expression basically means that if you want anything to do with me, you better follow this directive. You can't come up with all kinds of kunsen and say, The Rebbe meant it this way, the Rebbe meant it that way. He wasn't talking about this situation. The Alter Rebbe didn't know from gray. The Alter Rebbe, everything was black and white. And the Alter Rebbe, I'm sure that the Alter Rebbe spent, I don't know what with the rest of the letters in Egeres HaKodesh, how much time the Alter Rebbe spent on it, but I know for sure that the Alter Rebbe spent a long time composing this letter. It's talked about, this letter is talked about in Hayom Yom, the day Yud Menachem Av, the day after Tisha B'Av. Actually, it's a Tisha B'Av Nidcha. No, it's the day after Tisha B'Av.
7-8 months.
Yeah, because that's when we start, that's when we read this letter. Okay? The Geras HaKadosh for Yud, the Tanya Chitas for Yud Menachem Av in leap year begins with Ketanti Mikol HaChasadim, the top of the page. And so the Rebbe wrote in there that, from what the Rebbe writes there, it seems that the Alter Rebbe spent a lot of time writing and rewriting this letter. And we'll see when we get to the end. What was it the proof for the Rebbe that the Alter Rebbe spent a lot of time writing this? So when he's saying over here, I'm saying this to everybody. And if you think it doesn't mean you, I got something to inform you. It means you too. It says, look, Hashem has performed for us a tremendous amount of kindness for us and our brethren. As it wasn't, even though it was the Friedrich Rebbe who said that his liberation was not just the liberation of himself, but it was the liberation of world Jewry. So with Alter Rebbe, it was not the Alter Rebbe on trial. From all the stories that the Alter Rebbe conveyed, which were conveyed by the Rebbeim over the last 200 years, it was entire Chabad Hasidus that was on trial. And it was because of
When
Alter Rebbe was on trial. The Alter Rebbe was on trial, was in prison for 53 days. There are 53 chapters in Tanya. The questions that the NKVD asked had absolutely nothing to do with the charges that he was charged with.
The Friedrich Rebbe.
The Alter Rebbe. The Alter Rebbe, was in prison. Hello, Yitzchak Kislev.
This vast library of
That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about the Tanya.
53
chapters of Tanya. 53 days in prison. The questions that were asked had nothing to do with sending money to Turkey, which is what he was accused of. He was accused of treason, sending money to a warring country. Okay, none of the questions had anything to do with it. They were asking questions of sublime levels of consciousness.
How did these grub Russians?
It wasn't them.
Who was
it? I'm talking. It wasn't. They were just the mouthpieces. Okay, but they had been fed. They knew. Listen, these guys. You know, they're not stupid. Their clerics read Hebrew. They are stupid. Their clerics all read Hebrew. They were probably, listen, the Misnagdim all had it in for them and telling them what it's talking about over there. You know, the one of the questions was, it talks about, how come you put Malchus on the bottom? You must be a married by Malchus. You must think very little of the king. You know, what kind of question is this? You know? So,
the question I had.
They asked about that all Goyim or all the nations are completely
clean. They asked him questions about how he davens. Like, how do they know what he davens? You know, how come in the middle of davening you say chaf af, which I don't even know what chaf af is, because in my studies I haven't come across it yet, but it's something epic, Kabbalistic. In the middle of davening you go chaf af. I mean, you know, so, and it said that the physical imprisonment was really hard on the Alter Rebbe, but having to explain such sublime Kabbalistic concepts to a bunch of Cossacks did him more pain. You know, because he had to explain such
lofty
things to such a grub of minds.
Yes.
Okay, that I'm sure that all these guys really wanted to do was go out and have a drink, you know, just like knock a couple back. You wouldn't have to deal with this guy, this Jew. He's just a Jew. You know? So Hashem has done tremendous kindness to us. The fact that the Alter Rebbe was walking around, the Alter Rebbe considered this to be tremendous. Mm. Because we know that the Alter Rebbe was visited by the Mezitcher Maggid and the Baal Shem Tov in prison and was told, not only should you continue, you should increase. Mm. So the fact that now he's given permission for Yafutzah, Mayonis Chutzah, this is a tremendous thing. Because the Baal Shem Tov wouldn't have wanted it. You're familiar with the whole famous Maisa, Mosai Kasimalik Sheyafuzamanazacharotzel, right? When is the Mashiach going to come? The Baal Shem Tov has a lease on a Shaman, and he asks him, and so he gets told when the wellsprings flow to the outside. The Baal Shem Tov has Yeridus and Neshama. His Neshama comes back in back into his body, and he cried to tears that he should take that din off. Because how long is it going to take? He had that vision in 1730-something or 1740-something. Mm. And he said, it's too much to ask. That Mashiach is not going to come until Hasidus becomes a popular movement worldwide. It shouldn't be. Mm. And many of the Hasidim, of the Baal Shem Tov, therefore did not publicize Hasidus. Wow. Because they sided with their Rebbe. They decided with the Baal Shem Tov. Mm. That Mashiach should be wrong. Mm. That it shouldn't have to wait and that long for Mashiach to come. Comes along the Alter Rebbe. And the Alter Rebbe understood Meinasecha Chutzah Kepshuto, that you have to push the wellsprings to the lowest and farthest and most distant places in order for Mashiach to come. In the streets, mamish. And he got into all kinds of tzuras with all these, right. not just with the Rebbes. I mean, not just with the Mitznagdim, but with the Rebbes.
Right. Yeah.
Pinchas Karitzer was ready to put the Alter Rebbe in Cherem for what he was doing. The famous Maisa that he found a piece of Hasidus in the street.
Right.
And he went and he said, look what you're doing over here. This is a desecration for Chilul Hashem. And he gave him the Maisa with the king's son who was sick. And they took the crown jewel and they ground it up. And they put some in his mouth and he got a little bit better. But most of it ran out.
Right.
Okay. That's the Hasidus is the crown jewel. Mm. Okay. So for the Baal Shem Tov to come to the Rebbe, to the Alter Rebbe in prison, and say, not only is it that you, he asked him, should I stop? So he says, not only is it that you shouldn't stop, and not only is it that you should continue, but you should continue in a greater way. He's given a double green light at this point. Go, because the Baal Shem Tov at that point, listen, the Baal Shem Tov was divested of a body at that point. He saw Olam HaEmes. He saw at that point that his way is not going to work. That he saw, he's an Olam HaEmes, that Mashiach has to be right.
Yeah.
Okay? And it's not going to be, then. So much so, that Hasidus had to relocate itself from Europe, and put itself into Chasi Kadr HaTachton, which is the Rebbe referred to North America as the lower half of the world. Tachton Shein Tachton Lamata Heimeno, that the lowest, that there's nothing lower than that.
No.
And a Hasidus should be translated in all different vernaculars,
right?
So that anybody should be able to pick it up, and that now you could be driving and stuck in traffic, and you don't even need anything. You could just take out your phone and you could hit a Chabad.org with an app, right. And you could listen to a class in Hasidus while you're sitting in traffic.
And learn the daily Tanya.
I do it every day.
That's what you call chutzah. And at this point, the Rebbe said 20 years ago, I don't know what we're waiting for still. It doesn't get any more than that. It doesn't get any lower than that. I mean, how much lower could it get? We're now much lower than what the Rebbe said. 1988, when he said, I don't know what else needs to be done. In 1988, okay, if you had a cassette tape player in your car, and you had the cassette tape, you could listen to the shiur in your car. but it meant having to change the tapes, it meant having to get the tapes, it meant making sure that your two-year-old didn't destroy the tape.
And if that's if you understood Yiddish or Hebrew.
There were also then at that point. 1988, they were starting to, yeah.
Right.
Okay. By 1995, 96, they had the Rambam already and the line already. And there was a pretty good stuff. You could keep yourself busy, but you basically needed a van to keep all the tapes. Everybody, that's why Babishers all have these minivans, because they keep all these tapes so they can listen. Now you don't even need
the kids. We need the tapes.
Yeah. So now you don't even have to worry about that. You have the phone, you plug it in, you Bluetooth it over there, and you hit the thing and Shalom Al Yisrael.
What are you talking about? Okay. I sit and eat my lunch in my van while I'm sitting in the parking lot at some store. I've got a video of some Rabbi Gordon or Yossi Gordon or somebody teaching, and I sit there and watch videos, Wi-Fi, while I'm eating my lunch.
Every single time I see those blue vans of yours,
it's amazing.
Like, is that Kiva? But there's a lot more than just you driving.
Oh yeah.
So anyway, so if it's got to be, if it has to be chutzah, what is Mashiach waiting for now? I don't think cruising down the lodge, being stuck in traffic, could get any lower than that, listening to Chassidus. Let's continue again. La'asis, the klalos ha'nashal, riba chasadim al-gadol Hashem asher la'asis iman alechos b'midosif shel Yaakov. Now, what should we do? This is the big deal now. You have to make yourself like Yaakov. Sha'amai v'sharis Yisrael shemesim asma kishirayim. Put yourself aside. Make yourself like a leftover. The important thing now at this point is not that the Alter Rebbe says this here, and this is absolutely 100% now true. The Alter Rebbe is saying it's not important that you do it. What's important now is that it be done. That's what our deal is now. Put yourself aside. If you don't get your name in the paper, okay, fine. If someone else, you're doing something, and someone else gets his name in the paper, good, gesunte hate. It's getting done.
Boy, I'm going astray from the shluchim.
Shemasham asmik yeshirayim u'maisriz mamar she'ein bar shum sarach. Levilti ram levavam me'acheham. And he says, don't start picking yourself up. Don't start making yourself big shots. V'loy laharche v'loyham peh. Don't open up your mouth. Don't scream at them. Don't do anything to them. Chas milahazkir b'hazhara neira rak lahashgul rucham v'libam b'midas emes liyakov mivnei kol adam b'nimuchas ruch. And on the contrary, you should approach everybody like you're Yaakov, with a humble spirit. And you can look at this guy. Listen, Alter Rebbe in Tanya says that you have to look at everybody and have avos hasorah for them. Even this person, that the only good thing that you could say about this person is that Hashem created them. Uh-huh. All these misnagdim, so Hashem created them too. Okay, so their whole philosophy in life is wrong. Okay, Nebuch, it's a rachmanis on them. They didn't raise themselves.
You won't record a Robin story, but you'll record that.
That one I will, yes.
Okay.
Okay.
I'm going to clear that up.
Midas ha'emes l'Yaakov nei kol adam v'nemuchas ha'ruach u'mayna rach meshiv daima chayma, but chima. Chase away anger v'ruach nichas and restrain your spirit v'kulu hayl v'ulei Hashem li'itim b'lev v'acheyham k'mayim upanim v'kulu. And perhaps it will be that if you show a wide and broad heart to your brethren, then kamayim upon him, like water water reflects the face. Initially when, as I said, this is Alter Rebbe rewrote this many times. Initially when, we don't have existing copies of, maybe they have in the library, but I don't have on any of my shelves, an existing copy of like the first draft of this letter, because the letter ended v'kulei hai v'ulei yitin Hashem b'lev acheichem. The Alter Rebbe said when he came that year when he came back from prison, three times he said the Maimer, Kimayim Hapanim Lepanim, and he explained it like Rashi, that says the pasuk is the water reflects the face, as water reflects the face, so does the heart of man, as the rest of the pasuk. So Rashi translates it that the face that you show in the water is the face that you're going to see in the water. And if you're showing humility to another person, so then they're going to show humility back. Not like Onkelos. Onkelos translates the pasuk that just like water is different from one place to another, so too the hearts of men are different one from the other, and they have valid reason to be arguing one with another. That's the way Onkelos translates it. So the Alter Rebbe explained three times he said the Maimer. It's not a very long Maimer. The whole Maimer is two lines. That the translation of this verse is, the face you show in the mirror is the face you're going to see. And therefore, you have this person that the only thing that you can say about him is that God created him. So no, have Rachmanis on him. Cut him a break. He didn't raise himself. The Rebbe said, and I don't remember what year it was, I think it was 73, when the Pocket Tanya first came out. The Rebbe said, so now when you're talking to somebody, and you'll say to them, what it says in Tanya, and they're going to go, what? And so you reach into your pocket, and you take out your Tanya, and you show it to them. And so like this, when it'll have a discussion, and someone's going to say, ah, that Tanya stuff. So you can reach into your pocket. Now you don't have to do that. You take out your you take out your iPhone, your smartphone. Yeah. Yeah. You flip up to whatever Chabad.org.
Not even get that flip.
And bingo.
App for Tanya.
Huh?
I'm an app.
An app for Tanya. Exactly.
An app for Tanya.
Okay. To be continued. Chapter 3 next time. Yeah.